We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this ministry, we would like to help support it. Your gift can be would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our special music this morning is brought to you by the Trinity Boys.
We're going to sing a song entitled, Dear Lord, Lead Me Day by Day, which is actually in your hymnal. It's number 411 if you want to follow along and see how many mistakes we make, or at least be inspired by the words if you can't understand them well. But it's a song that comes to us from the church in the Philippines, and it's a peppy little song, obviously popular there, and we kind of like it too.
Dear Lord, lead me day by day, make me steadfast, wise, and strong, happy most of all to know that my dear Lord loves me so. Praise to God, fount of love, praise from morn till the set of sun, praise at home, praise in church, praise to God everywhere on earth. Dear Lord, lead me day by day, make me follow and obey, faithfully your words of life, that your love ever abide. Praise to God, fount of love, praise from morn till the set of sun, praise at home, praise in church, praise to God everywhere on earth. Now with confidence we sing joyous praises to our God, and with upright heart I give tender care and sympathy. Praise to God, fount of love, praise from morn till the set of sun, praise at home, praise in church, praise to God everywhere on earth.
Thank you. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2, and verse 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to preach to them, saying, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Our sermon this morning is Blessed Are the Meek by Pastor Mike Seney.
Let's come to God in prayer. Gracious God, we are so thankful for this morning in which you've invited us here because you wish to accomplish great things in our lives. You wish to work through us. You wish to continue transforming us into true disciples of Christ. We thank you for your commitment to us, and we pray you inspire us this morning to grow even closer to you. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Through this season we call Epiphany, I've been leading us through some of the Beatitudes that Jesus shares on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. And we've come to the third of those Beatitudes today, which you heard is, Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. To understand this blessing, I want to begin at the very end. When Jesus speaks about the earth, it seems like it'd be simple, and yet there's so much more to the wording here that Jesus has in mind. Because it's very clear to most Bible scholars that when Jesus speaks about the meek inheriting the earth, he is drawing from Psalm number 37. Which is what we read a portion of this morning in our call to worship. In fact, in Psalm 37, the writer there says five times, the meek shall possess the land, shall receive the land, the earth. Now, originally, this promise of land was concerning the promised land, aptly named. It was the promise to the Hebrews as Moses would lead them through the wilderness that they will receive the land, the earth, once they cross the Jordan River. Everything in front of them is what God has promised them. It will be their inheritance forever. So this is the land, the earth, that God has promised they will inherit and live on. And the land from then on, the earth from then on, became a symbol of a place where the Jews experienced God's blessings, where they experienced the presence and the blessings of God. But as Jesus has already described in the first two Beatitudes, what the citizens of the kingdom are like, he obviously, to me, seems to also have in mind not just the physical earth, but also this coming kingdom. He's speaking about the future earth as well, that the meek will inherit this promised land, this place they will receive when this life is over. So the meek will inherit their place in the kingdom. So as Jesus speaks about the earth here in this beatitude, it looks to me like he's speaking about both. Both this place here, which is a place of blessing, and our place in the kingdom, which is yet to come. And yet those people who own the earth, who obtain all the possessions and blessings of the earth, typically are people who are strong. Typically those who own the earth are the powerful. People who are extraordinary, who are special in some ways. The people who seem to own the earth are those who we might consider them charismatic. Sometimes they might be frightening to us. They may be the kind of people who are loud and flamboyant. They're the people that have the means to gain the land, to possess the earth. If you're looking back at Jesus' day, those who fit that bill would have been the Roman emperors. One emperor after another came with tremendous power. Power to conquer the earth. Power to receive all the possessions of the earth as they knew it. They were the ones who were the flamboyant, the strong. Everyone bowed down to them and they had everything as their possession. And ever since those days, as well as before, great leaders, strong men and women who have exercised a lot of strength and a lot of power over an area have sought to dominate the earth. They've tried to possess the land. They've tried to corner the market on the blessings, the possessions that are available. They have wanted to dominate the earth. But when you have that much power, and when you have that much fame, one of the things you can almost count on is that they then become very afraid of losing that power, and losing that fame, losing the earth that they have dominated and conquered. You know, through this series, I want to speak about the Beatitudes. I'm referring once in a while to Max Lucado's book he wrote many years ago called The Applause of Heaven, where he goes through the Beatitudes and shares some thoughts about each of them. And in this one Beatitude, this third one, Max Lucado speaks about that fear that comes to those people who try to possess the earth, who try to gain as much as they can through their own power, their own strength and their own fame. And I want to read you the examples he shares in this beatitude. He says, "Can power, possessions, or popularity really deliver us from our fears? If power could, then Joseph Stalin should have been fearless. Instead, this infamous Russian premier was afraid to go to bed. He had 7 different bedrooms. Each could be locked as tightly as a safe. In order to foil any would-be assassins, he slept in a different one each night. 5 chauffeur-driven limousines transported him wherever he went, each with curtains closed so no one would know which contained Stalin. So deep-seated were his apprehensions that he employed a servant whose sole task was to monitor and protect his tea bags. If possessions conquered fear, the late billionaire Howard Hughes would have been fearless. But you probably know his story. His distrust of people and his paranoia of germs led this billionaire to Mexico, where he died a lonely death as a cadaverous hermit with a belly-length beard and corkscrew fingernails. And he goes on, what about popularity? Beatle John Lennon's fame as a singer, songwriter, and pop icon made him a household word, but his fears brought him misery. His biographers describe him as a frightened man, unwilling to sleep with the lights off, and afraid to touch anything because of its filth. Those who seek to conquer, those who seek to gain the earth, end up having it for just a short time. Their fears are realized. They lose what they've worked so hard to gain. So as Jesus is speaking to this crowd in front of this mountainside, he knows there are some in the audience who see themselves as strong. They see themselves as self-reliant. They see themselves as people who are trying to gain their little part of the earth. And he shocks them with this statement that the meek will inherit the earth. You see, as Jesus is speaking about the meek, he's also drawing upon the last 2 Beatitudes. The meek are like the poor in spirit. The meek are like those who mourn. They are the kind of people who are not trying to gain success on an earthly level. They are not working hard to possess the earth. If you look back at Psalm 37, where that promise of inheriting the land goes many times, you see the writer is describing the meek in so much of it. Psalm 37 promises the meek that they will receive the earth. And he describes the meek as those who don't worry whether they receive anything or not. He describes the meek as those who trust in the Lord, whatever the Lord wants to do in their life. He describes the meek as waiting patiently, letting God work out God's plans. The writer describes the meek as those who don't get angry, who aren't upset by how life goes. They simply trust God with the results. And when you look at the New Testament, you discover Jesus himself is described as meek, humble, gentle. And so the meek want the heart of Jesus in them. The meek want the nature of Jesus to be lived out in their life. The meek want the character of Jesus to be evident to everybody that they're around. The meek are these ordinary people, nothing special about them necessarily, who simply want to be a representative of Jesus and what he stands for. As ordinary people, the meek simply put themselves at God's disposal, ready to serve, ready to please God, however that works out. Again, at this point in the Beatitude, Max Lucado shares some examples of ordinary things that God uses for extraordinary purposes. And I'll give you those quick examples. In his book, Max Lucado speaks about this brown wooden stick. It's not perhaps the tallest stick in the forest. It's not perhaps the strongest. It's just an ordinary brown stick. But when it's held in the hands of Moses, it can become a snake. It becomes the rod that Moses uses to help lead the Israelites out of Egypt. An ordinary stick played a role in that freedom. And then later on, centuries later, Max Lucado speaks about a little gray rock. Just an ordinary rock, rather smooth, nothing unusual about it, except it was in the bag that the young man named David was carrying. The rock that he took out of that bag and slung at the giant Goliath and killed him. And through that, Israel had a victory over the Philistines. Just a little smooth rock brought victory and freedom. And then Lucado shares the story of Jesus. He's looking down at this tan dirt. If you've been in Israel, you realize it's not lush dirt. It's usually tan. It's mostly sandy. But it's dirt. Common dirt. People have been walking on it for a long time. And yet, on this one day, Jesus spits on it. And then reaches down and grabs the dirt and the spit mixed together, making a little clay, and puts it in the eyes of a blind man and allows him to see and have new life after that. Dirt becomes the means to new life. That's the role of the meek. They're simply ordinary, nothing special, except when they put themselves at God's disposal and allow God to use them. You see, the meek are the kind of people who aren't out to earn the earth. They're not out to fight and conquer for the possessions, for all the blessings. But because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, they will experience blessings on this earth. And they will possess the promise of the kingdom that's yet to come. So it's a double inheritance. They inherit a place now where they are blessed, and all the while knowing there is a place waiting where the blessings will continue. So with such an assurance of inheritance, the meek simply make themselves available to God. They're not worried what's coming. They're not worried and anxious about these blessings and how to live on this earth. They know they're going to be taken care of. So they simply put their lives at God's disposal. So use me as you wish. Let me offer you a good illustration. A man named Tyrell. Tyrell was nobody special, an ordinary man. He was walking with his wife one day at the grocery store. They were out shopping. They were in the frozen food section. They were looking for some frozen vegetables in this one aisle. And as they were walking along, suddenly Tyrell has this urge. You probably have felt that before, this strong urge that tells him, you need to go to the ice cream. Have you ever had an urge that tells you to go to the ice cream? Many of us have. But for Tyrell, this was strange because ice cream wasn't on their list. And he wasn't interested in ice cream. They were not going to buy any ice cream. But he gets this urge. Go in this one aisle where the ice cream is. So Tyrell tells his wife he'll be back in a moment. He goes into the aisle knowing he's not going to buy any ice cream. But why does he feel this urge to go in this row? And as he walks down the aisle, he sees a short elderly man who is looking up in the freezer section at the ice cream. And as he turns and sees Tyrell, he smiles broadly says, could you get that box down for me? And Tyrell says, sure. And he takes it out and gives it to this elderly man. He had no idea who it was. He thanked him profusely and started walking back down the aisle. Tyrell then turns and heads down the other way toward his wife. And all of a sudden, he stopped dead in his tracks. Like something has just put the brakes on him. And he has this feeling wash over him. This feeling of exhilaration. This feeling of excitement. This feeling of almost like joy. As he stands there, and all of a sudden, he feels in his spirit the Holy Spirit telling him, well done. That's exactly what you were meant to do. He knew God had led him to the ice cream to help this man. A very simple act. He probably might have had someone else come later to get it for him. But Tyrell was the one that God said, you need to go to a place you're not planning to go to. And once he got there, he served. The next time you're shopping and you get to the ice cream, you can tell your spouse, God said, we need to get this. No, don't use that as an excuse now. That's not the meaning of the story. But it is how the meek make themselves available. They trust in God's strength. They trust in God's guidance to use them well. And so the meek can do that with courage. They don't have to do it with fear. They can do it with courage. I'm going to serve and I'm going to do it courageously because I know God is in charge. And God will use me well. One more reference to Max Lucado for today. He has some good thoughts on this beatitude. And he shares at the end of this portion how it compares to the other two beatitudes. He sees them as steps leading from one to the other. So I want to share his conclusion here. He says the first two steps are admittance of inadequacy and repentance for pride. That was the first beatitude. The second, the next step is the one of renewal. Blessed are the meek. Realization of weakness leads to the source of strength, God. And renewal comes when we become meek, when we give our lives to God to be His tool. The first two Beatitudes pass us through the fire of purification. The third places us in the hands of the Master. The result of this process? Courage. They shall inherit the earth. No longer shall the earth and its fears dominate us, for we follow the one who dominates the earth. Friends, if we would choose the stance of meekness, then the earth is ours to inherit. As we choose to trust Jesus, the earth no longer becomes a place of constant frustration. As we choose to follow Jesus, the earth is no longer a place of hidden fears or a place that brings us harm. But the earth becomes a place of blessings, a place where God chooses to bless His people. And then with the assurance of the kingdom yet to come, the meek now are available to courageously serve. And someday, after their service is over, they know they will join the meek and lowly of past generations. The meek simply want to imitate their humble Savior. They want to share His heart. His heart of peace and joy. And so that Savior on that mount, at that mountainside so long ago, invited the strong, invited the self-reliant, invited the prideful, those who thought they were something, He invited them to become meek. He invited them to become those who trust solely in their Lord. And that invitation is still offered today. As Jesus looks upon all of us, He's inviting us, live in this meekness. Live in this kind of lifestyle in which you will find your strength in Me. Live in the kind of lifestyle where you receive a double inheritance. Blessings here, as well as the promise of the kingdom yet to come. Jesus invites each of us today to walk in meekness, to walk in absolute trust in our Savior, wanting to imitate Him, who He is, what He stood for, and to make sure others see Christ in us and allow us to then serve Him well. As we respond to Jesus' invitation, let me offer prayer for us. Gracious God, we thank You for the invitation Jesus continues to offer. So many people think they need to possess the earth through their own strength. They work so hard to gain possessions, to gain what they think will bring them happiness. And yet all they gain is fear. Fear of loss. Fear of what might be yet to come. Lord, invite us to a different way. Help us to take hold of a life that comes without that fear, but rather comes with trust. Trust in You. Confidence that You will work through us. That You will bless us. That You'll lead us through this life. We thank You, Lord, for that double inheritance that Jesus offered so long ago and offers today. A life of joy and blessings here, and the confidence of what is yet to come. Thank You, Lord, for challenging us again to be imitators of Christ. We pray all this in His holy name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 175 in your hymnal. You can remain seated as we sing together about the thought of Jesus and living for Him.
Will be.